Labors of Love. An informative look at modern-day evangelization, featuring the ministries and work of the Catholic Church in South Texas. Stay with us and learn of the Church's many services and benefits with your host, Margaret Alleria, Director of Evangelization and Catechesis for the Diocese of Corpus Christi, as she explores the Catholic faith with her many guests and their labors of love.
Welcome to Labors of Love. I'm your host, Margaret Alleria, and I'm here with my guest, Eddie Fernandez, who is the director for the Schola Cantorum with the Corpus Christi Cathedral. How are you?
Fine. How are you, Margaret?
I'm doing well, thank you. I'm excited to have you here. I myself do not know that much about Gregorian chant or much about the Schola, so I'm looking forward to our interview. Now, before we get started, can you tell me a little bit about yourself?
Sure. I'm originally from Corpus Christi. I was born here, and I lived in Dallas for a few years, but all my life, practically, I have been here. I worked for American Electric Power in information technology. I just recently retired.
Congratulations.
Well, thank you. But I have been with the Schola since it was formed back in 1989.
Okay. And how did you get involved with the Schola? What attracted you? Are you a musician? Did you play instruments when you grew up?
Actually, I did play guitar, and when in high school, we had guitar masses back then.
Oh, okay.
So I was involved in that, and I was in a group that we did choral music with guitar. But I always liked Latin chant for some reason, and when I saw the advertisement in the paper that they were looking for members to start a Schola, I signed up at that time. Because I've always liked to sing.
Okay, so you sing and you also play instruments.
Right, but of course with the Schola, we don't do guitar.
Sure. What instruments do you use then? Mainly the pipe organ or?
Well, actually, Gregorian chant is unison singing unaccompanied.
Oh, okay.
So it's all a cappella.
No instruments. Wonderful.
Although sometimes the director of music, Lee Gwotes, may add a little organ or handbells to our some of the Latin chants that we sing, some of the hymns that we sing.
As a matter of fact, I've had Lee Gwotes here a couple of occasions, and we've had a really good time with him here.
I'm sure.
So let's go ahead and talk about how the Schola was formed. Can you tell me a little bit about the history?
Sure. Well, back in 1989, then Bishop René Gracida asked Father Greg Labus to form a men's Schola. At that time, before Father Greg became a priest, he was the co-director of music at the cathedral with Lee Gwotes. And so they advertised for members, and originally we had 5 members in the fall of 1989, and I was one of the original members of the group.
Wow.
Yeah. Father Greg, he left in 2001 to join the seminary. So about a year later, I agreed to go ahead and take over as director of the group.
So that's about 20 years ago then. As a matter of fact, you all are going to celebrate your 25th year of singing Gregorian chant.
When our season starts in October, that'll be the beginning of our 25th year singing chant at the cathedral.
Now that we know the history of the Cathedral Schola, let's go ahead and talk about Gregorian chant in particular. People have heard the word chant and even Gregorian chant, but what is it in particular?
Well, the actual definition of Gregorian chant, it's the original traditional music associated with the Roman Catholic liturgy, the Mass. Gregorian chant is unison singing without accompaniment. It is sung in Latin with a few words in Greek or Hebrew, perhaps. But, you know, English and other languages are also possible. But the true traditional Gregorian chant is in Latin. And Latin chant is an ancient form of liturgical music. It's believed to have been developed from early Jewish religious services. And plainsong, it was known as plainsong in the beginning, and it became known as Gregorian chant because Pope Gregory I, who died in the year 604, organized and codified the music.
What does it mean to codify?
They made it more formal. It was just kind of you pass it by word of mouth and not really organized, and it wasn't done the same way all the time. So it needed some structure. So he was the one that organized it and put it to some type of notation, ancient notation.
So like sheet music then?
Yeah, of course there was no printing press back then, but they came up with some form of notation that they could use on sheets so that everybody could start singing it the same way.
Well, that's an interesting fact, Gregorian chant and Pope Gregory the First. All right, so then later in the 19th century, you and I were speaking and learning a little bit more about this. The Benedictine monks then revived Latin chants.
There is an abbey in France, the Salem Abbey. They're the ones that were instrumental in taking that mishmash. Some of it was very disorganized. They took all that and they reformed the Roman Catholic liturgy by organizing and writing out this chant in a standard format that we use today.
Okay, wonderful. And let me ask you, first of all, when do you all sing? When do you all lead us in worship and Mass? I know my daughter's in the choir, the cathedral choir. She's only 8, but this will be her 3rd year starting with them. And I don't recall actually hearing Gregorian chant.
Right. Our season starts normally in late October, and we sing typically at the 5:30 p.m. Saturday Vigil Mass at the cathedral, like twice a month.
Oh, and my daughter alternates with you all then.
Yes.
Okay, that's why I miss you. Why I must go and see and hear. It's beautiful, all of the choirs there at the cathedral.
Yes.
So then let's go back to the history of Gregorian chant, Latin. Why do we sing in Latin? Why not English?
Good question. People ask us that. Why not in English or Spanish? Well, I always like to say that Latin chant is our musical heritage. According to the book Sing to the Lord, published by the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops, Gregorian chant is many things. Can I quote a few
Please,
phrases that are in that book, Sing to the Lord? Chant is uniquely the Church's own music. It's a living connection with the early Church. It's the traditional music of the Roman Rite. It's a sign of communion with the universal Church, and it's really a means for diverse communities to participate together in song. What to me that means, like if you've ever been to like a papal mass or if you've seen it on TV, you will see that they're singing the music in Latin. And you have people from many different countries and they all sing the same music because Latin is the universal language of the Church. So I think it's important to keep on learning it and promoting it as much as we can.
And I was going to say that there are many communities or groups of people that will particularly come to a, they call it maybe Latin Mass or a Mass where they hear Gregorian chant because they're familiar with that. They're used to that from when they were children. And they want to continue listening to that beautiful music and when you all are leading us in Mass. All right, so then how do people learn more about singing in Latin? Do they have to know the entire Latin language, or do they just need to know some songs or some basics?
Well, that's a good question. At Mass, if you were to sing something like the Sanctus or the Agnus Dei, you're already singing some of the simple Latin chants that we sing. But if you want to sing chant, it would be nice to join the Schola, right? And during rehearsals, we go over the music, we translate it, and we learn about the meaning of the words that we're going to be using at Mass. So being that the chants are in Latin, it forces us to analyze them more closely and to study the text and to become more familiar with the liturgy. So our rehearsals are really prayer time and study time. And chant is sung prayer. I'd like to say that, you know, St. Augustine is often quoted as having said, the one who sings prays twice. Well, we like to say that the one who sings well prays twice. You know, practice makes perfect. That's a true statement. And choir rehearsals are very important in learning this music well. I mean, we don't want to just get together and practice a little bit and then go sing a little bit of chant. Some of that music is very complex. It's beautiful. But
How is it complex? Is it complex because of the language or because of the different notes? I'm not a musician myself, but I do want to just be as clear as possible, just in case there are some people that are interested in joining.
Sure. A lot of our chants are called melismatic chants, which means for every syllable we have many, many notes.
Okay.
Syllabic is the other term, where like one note, one syllable. But some of the introits that we sing or some of the other chants that we sing, they just go on and on with going all over the place with this one syllable.
I'm thoroughly confused already, but I know it sounds beautiful. We're going to take a quick break. Stay with us on Labors of Love.
This is Labors of Love.
The gift shop at Most Precious Blood Church, 3502 Saratoga, is stocked with a variety of religious items for every occasion. You'll find Bibles, baptism, and wedding items, framed religious art, religious DVDs for the whole family, rosaries, crosses, statues, prayer booklets, prayer cards, and more. Store hours are Thursday through Saturday from 10 till 5, and Sundays a half hour before and after each Mass. A portion of the proceeds benefits Most Precious Blood School.
Welcome back to Labors of Love. Again, I'm here with Director Eddie Fernandez of the Corpus Christi Cathedral Schola. Before the break, we spoke about the difficulties in learning Gregorian chant, but I don't want to discourage people that are interested. Now, you talked about one syllable having different notes. Can people learn and to where it becomes second nature how to sing Gregorian chant? I'm sure it takes years, but...
Well, for a new member, it may take a little while, but the way to learn chant is almost, you almost have to memorize it. You don't actually have to know how to read music. We use a different type of notation, by the way, when we sing chant. It's square notes, so chant notation.
Okay.
But for like new members, the way to learn is to listen to it and then repeat it, and repeat it over and over and over until you know it.
Oh, okay. All right.
That's the best way to learn chant.
Well, that sounds reasonable.
But just about anybody can do it. If you can carry a tune, you can sing chant.
All right. So let's go ahead and talk about what you sing. I know some people say that, well, you perform at Mass, but it's not actually that. You lead us in worship at Mass. So what do you sing? What's the mission of Gregorian chant?
Yes, our mission is to sing the Mass. Not necessarily to sing at Mass. There is a distinction. See, much of what we sing is the actual prayers of the Mass. We sing some of the ordinaries and some of the propers of the Mass in Latin. And, of course, the ordinaries are the prayers that remain constant for all Masses, such as the Lord Have Mercy, which is the Kyrie, the Gloria, the Creed, the Holy Holy, the Agnus Dei. We usually sing two or three of these ordinary prayers in Latin when we sing a Mass at the cathedral. And then there's the propers. The propers are the prayers that change for every Mass according to the season or the feast or the saint being celebrated. So the propers of the Mass are like the introit, which is an entrance hymn, the gradual, which is now called the responsorial psalm, the gospel acclamation or the Alleluia. The offertory and the communion, those are the propers of the Mass. They change for every Mass. At the cathedral, we typically sing in Latin the proper introit and the proper communion prayer for that day. Sometimes we will sing the proper offertory prayer, but more often we will sing a Latin hymn appropriate for the Mass being celebrated.
What about those people that are just really wondering the importance of music in Mass? We learned earlier that St. Augustine said, when you sing, you pray twice. And I'm just really curious, how would you encourage someone to really understand the importance of music in Mass?
Well, I can say that actually the lyrics for Gregorian chant, in most cases, they come directly from the Bible. Many of our selections are from the Book of Psalms. Others are from the Gospels and from other books in the Old and the New Testament. So that means when we sing chant, we are actually singing the Bible. So we are praying.
Well, that's wonderful. I'm sold. Okay, now you also participated in the Centennial Mass. Can you tell me a little bit more about that experience? We had about 9,000 plus people fill the American Bank Center at our Centennial celebration where the diocese turned 100 years old.
Yes.
And you did wonderful in leading us in worship. So tell me more about that experience.
That was a great experience for us. we were able to convince our founder, Father Greg Labus, to come back and actually direct the group for that big mass. Cardinal DiNardo was the celebrant. We sang the propers in Latin, and we sang some of them in English. And we let the people in the Gloria, the Credo, and it was just a great experience, and we were so happy that there were so many people there that were able to hear us and get a little bit of a taste of what we do at the cathedral.
Because it is really a beautiful sound. I mean, for those that haven't heard Gregorian chant or the Scola here, it's just really breathtaking.
It can be, yes.
Yeah. So I'm sure people there at the Centennial had heard you all for the first time and were attracted to it.
I would say so, and I would think so, that that they liked it. We got a lot of good comments from that.
Wonderful.
Mass.
You all also have a CD out. Tell me a little bit more about your CD. That way, if listeners are interested, they can actually purchase the CD.
Well, it's been a few years since we recorded our CD. It's actually recorded back in 1996.
Okay.
When Father Greg was our director, we traveled to Goliad, Texas, one cold Saturday morning in January 1996 to record our music in one of the old Spanish missions in that area. We had 15 members at that time, and we recorded our CD at the mission Espiritu Santo. The CD contains a sampling of our repertoire, propers for Advent and Christmas, Requiem Mass selections, and other chants. Well, that CD is actually available on Amazon.com or from the Cathedral Music Office.
So, Eddie, we have a little surprise for our listeners. We're actually going to listen to a selection from the Corpus Christi Schola Cantorum. Can you tell us a little bit about what we're going to hear next?
Yes, we will be playing the Agnus Dei for Mass 18, which is the Mass of the Dead, or for Advent.
Wonderful. Let's take a listen.
Agnus Dei,
that was great. What are some other selections that you have people might be interested in?
Well, we have propers for Advent and Christmas. We have the Introit for Epiphany and the Requiem Aeternam. We also have the Dies Irae, which is a sequence from the Mass of the Dead, and some of the other prayers for the Mass of the Dead.
And you yourself are on that CD, isn't it?
Yes, I am on this CD.
Wonderful. Okay. So I understand then that you are looking for new members for the Schola. Tell me about that.
Yes, the Schola season actually runs from October, late October, through the Feast of Corpus Christi in June. We've had choir members come and go. Right now we have 6 members, so we really need more members to build up the group, to build up our sound. It would be nice to have 12 members. So if you are interested, if you're listening and you're interested in joining the Schola, please call the Cathedral Music Office at area code 361-888-6520, extension 31. So you can schedule an interview and you will receive a free vocal checkup. You can also go to our Schola website, which is ccschola.com. There you will find that phone number, and you will also see our schedule for next season. And our members use this website to see the music that's planned for each Sunday that we sing. I have the scores out there. I have audios of the music, and so that members can essentially practice the music on their own using a computer or a smartphone or an iPad or anything, any device that they have to connect to the Internet, so you can learn this ancient music using these modern devices.
So there's that listening and repeating and listening and memorizing that you were talking about earlier. If you would like to encourage some men that are interested in joining but they're a little hesitant, what would you say to encourage them?
Well, I would say if you like to pray and you like to sing well, you like to pray well, I guess what I'm trying to say is if you would like to sing chant, it is not that difficult. Please think about joining the Schola. We rehearse on Tuesday nights starting in late October. And you will have to do some work on your own to practice and learn this music because we cannot learn everything at the rehearsals. So there's a little bit of work involved. But we only sing twice a month. And you don't have to become a member of the parish. You can still stay with your parish and perhaps take some of that music back to your parish.
And they can go and listen to you also those two times a month in October.
Yes, and you can find our schedule on ccschola.com.
Thank you so much, Eddie, for being with us. Stay with us. Deacon Nolte and Sacred Moments is up next.
This is Labors of Love, the ministries and evangelization of the Diocese of Corpus Christi. If you have questions or perhaps a comment about today's program, why not send us email? Address your email to labors@klux.org or by U.S. mail, 1200 Lantana, Corpus Christi, Texas, 78407. And now, with this week's Sacred Moment, here is Deacon Stephen Nolte.
Have you ever noticed that air conditioners only break down during the hottest days of the summer? On the one hand, you might say it makes sense, because when it's cold, we don't typically run the AC. But what about the rest of the year? In the South, the AC often goes on in late spring, before the hottest days arrive. Why can't it break down then, when the sweat and suffering would be less? You would think that, statistically, it would have to happen sometimes, but it never seems to. It could be that the problem with the AC is already there, but we don't notice it until the heat is on. It's warm outside, the house is heating up, so you decide to cool it down. Because the overall temperature is lower, it doesn't take as much to cool off, so we don't notice that the AC isn't working at full capacity. But once it gets really hot outside, and the AC is struggling to keep up with the heat, we know that something is wrong and call the repair people. One family recently went through this. As the outside temperature soared, the AC struggled to cool down the house. Eventually, they gave in and called an AC company. At one point, as the service tech went through his regular routine of checking all of the components, he went into the attic to inspect the plenum and the ducting. As he was maneuvering his way out of the attic, he slipped on one of the boards that had been placed there for safe access. Imagine the surprise of the family seated around the dining room table when there was a sudden crashing sound and a leg appeared dangling through the ceiling. Fortunately, no one was hurt, and the repairs weren't major. It reminds us of the story of the paralytic who was lowered through the roof so Jesus might heal him. The people in the house probably weren't expecting guests to arrive through the roof, let alone a paralytic on a stretcher, but that's what happened. Imagine their further surprise when Jesus took it all in and, speaking to the paralytic's friends on the roof, said, "As for you, your sins are forgiven." The Pharisees who were present began asking among themselves who Jesus was. After all, he was forgiving sins, an act they believed belonged only to God. As usual, Jesus rebuffed them. After the rebuff and subsequent healing of the paralytic, they were astonished and glorified God. This is one of the rare times when we hear the Pharisees responding favorably to one of Jesus' miracles. This story should give us much to think about. Sometimes God allows us to be startled by something as unusual as a leg dangling from the ceiling, or a paralytic lowered on a stretcher into the midst of our life. It might be our leg. It might be a loved one, or even ourselves, suddenly struck ill and in bed. He uses such moments to draw us into his love, inviting us to receive the forgiveness and healing we all need. He knows when we haven't been doing the regular maintenance necessary for our own good, maintenance like daily prayer, practicing charity like the paralytic's friends, or not receiving the sacraments. When was the last time you had a good heart-to-heart with God in the confessional? He wants to heal us and forgive us. We just need to ask. May your sacred moments bring bodily and spiritual healing, and may God's blessings be with you when the heat is on. Amen.
Thank you for being with us on Labors of Love. I'd also like to thank my guest, Eddie Fernandez, who is the director of the Corpus Christi Schola Cantorum. If you would like more information, please call 361-888-6520, extension 31, or visit them at ccschola.com. Thanks again for being with us on Labors of Love.
You've been listening to Labors of Love with Margaret Alleria. Online MP3s of this program are available on the CCN server. Browse to podcasts.goccn.net. Scroll down and select the Labors of Love category. Be with us next week at this same time for another edition of Labors of Love. Labors of Love is a production of the Department of Evangelization, Diocese of Corpus Christi, and CCN, the Catholic Communications Network.